Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This is an audio version of my videos, available to make listening to my stuff in the background easier than YouTube makes it. But since my videos are primarily made for YouTube, there may be occasional references to visual materials. If you'd like this podcast ad-free, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/vicerhino. Please enjoy. Hello, and welcome to my channel. Vice Rhino here. Today is going to be a bit different. This is going to be hard for me, but it's something that I feel a need to do, and I want to get this done sooner rather than later, so here it goes. As most of you are probably already aware, Mrs. Rhino died suddenly on November 11th, and because in life she was so very passionate about our annual fundraiser, constantly giving me updates and setting new goals to hit and pushing people toward those goals, I decided that the fitting thing to do here would be to dedicate the remainder of the fundraiser to her memory. So if you hear this and you're feeling the urge to do something to help, don't give me money. I will be okay, financially speaking. But do give money to the fundraiser for Project Share in order to help people that aren't as financially comfortable as I am. She would have been so happy with how fast it's been growing. Our initial goal was $7,000, and it's now over $32,000. It's bittersweet for me. I keep wanting to tell her how generous everyone has been so that I can see her face light up with excitement. But I'll have to make do with imagining her reaction. But anyway, to move back to semi-regular territory, I thought I would use this as a springboard to talk about God. So let's go. There are two angles I'd like to tackle this from. I'll start with the intelligent design angle, that's the easier of the two to go after. So in order to look at it from this perspective, I need to explain what exactly happened. She had a stroke, and not just any stroke, but a severe stroke deep inside the brain. The kind of stroke that just doesn't happen to people who are under 70, and it only happens to people who are over 70 if they have severe problems with blood pressure. For this kind of stroke to show up in someone as young and healthy as she was, there had to have been a problem with the blood vessels in her brain. They were malformed. Now, it's possible that I have some of the details wrong. I wasn't exactly thinking clearly when I heard it all, but my understanding is that this is just how her blood vessels were, and so everything was normal until it wasn't. The doctors don't think it was genetic, because if it was genetic, they would have seen similar malformations all throughout her body, and we would have known about it earlier, so it likely was just a fluke of development. So creationists would have us believe that our bodies are intelligently designed. But it was, quite literally, the lack of any such intelligent design that killed my wife. Had her blood vessels been designed properly, she would still be alive. And I know creationists love that genetic entropy crap where we are all supposedly deteriorating as time goes on, but even if genetic entropy were a thing, which, to be absolutely clear, it's not, this was not genetic. This is the result of how her brain formed while she was developing. If there was a god knitting her together in her mother's womb, he screwed up on the brain's blood vessels, plain and simple. So yeah, tell me again how intelligently we are designed. And that's the easy one. Now we move on to the problem of evil. If somehow you're unfamiliar with the problem of evil, it's a logical problem that is created when someone claims that an all-loving God exists. One of the more common formulations of the problem is attributed to Epicurus. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? Now, most apologists like to focus on responding to the problem of evil as it relates to human actions. God allows bad people to do bad things because he gave us free will, and to force us to do good, or at least to force us to be unable to do evil, would be a violation of this free will. There are a number of problems with this line of reasoning, and specific to Christian theology, the Bible never actually even says that humans have free will, and there are multiple instances in the Bible where God explicitly violates the free will of various people, but that's not what I'm focusing on today. Today, I'm focusing on the part of the problem of evil that is usually glossed over by apologists, if they even mention it at all. And that's the problem of natural evil. So here I am, in a family with three young children, the type of family that apologists will tell you is God's ideal family, one man, one woman, multiple children. If I had wanted a divorce, the pastors at the various churches I've attended throughout my life would warn me against it, even if we didn't have feelings for each other anymore. It's best for the kids to be raised in a stable household with two parents. Statistics bear that out. Never mind how toxic a household can get when the parents are fighting all the time. So when it's a divorce in order to escape abuse or to just find fulfillment with a more compatible partner, it's a big no-no because that would violate God's plan for my family. But despite this being his ideal plan, he designed my wife with a defect in her brain that he knew would cause her death at age 35, leaving me alone to care for three young kids completely unprepared to take on such responsibility by myself. Oh, and as long as we're talking about me not being prepared for this, let's just briefly mention purity culture here. We got married when we were 19. I have never lived on my own. Managing a household, for me, has always either not been my responsibility, or it was a shared responsibility. The reason we got married so young was because of purity culture. As a good Christian boy, I justified the fact that we had sex before getting married by telling myself that the marriage isn't the important thing for deciding when sex is okay, it's the commitment to spend the rest of your life with the person, and since I fully planned on doing that, it was okay. And so we got married entirely too young. It did work out for us, but we were the exception rather than the rule. And now, because I've never lived on my own, I have to learn how to manage a household for the first time in my life, not just for myself, but for three kids as well. Back to the problem of natural evil, the common apologetic for this is, somewhat amusingly, to jump into utilitarian ethics. God allows such evil to occur so that he might use it to bring about a greater good. The same apologists who would tell you that morality is completely objective and that something like lying is always wrong even if the lie will bring about a greater good, suddenly switch tactics to claim that God allows bad things to happen in order to bring about a greater good, thereby making the bad things not bad. So, in the case of the death of my wife, there may be speculation that God will use this event to bring me back into the fold of Christianity, thereby saving my immortal soul, making her untimely death worth it. There are a myriad of problems with this interpretation. First, and most obvious to me at the moment, is at this point, if Christianity is true, then the only hope I have of ever seeing my wife again is to remain an atheist. In the common Christian worldview, my wife, who died an atheist, is currently being tortured in hell. If I go to heaven, I will never see her again. If I go to hell, I probably still won't see her again either, but the Bible doesn't explicitly say that loved ones will be separated in hell, so there's more of a chance gambling on that option than the heaven option. So, you know what? Go ahead. If you're watching this and you're an aspiring apologist, leave a comment with your email address. I want to send you a link to a Zoom call, because I want you to look me in the eye and tell me face to face that my wife is being tortured for all of eternity, and you think it's a good idea for me to start worshiping the guy who's responsible for torturing her in order that I might lose my only chance I'll ever have of seeing her again. I dare you. And then remember that every time a preacher uses the funeral of a non-believer as an evangelism opportunity, that is exactly what they are saying to the mourning family. Every time a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness comes knocking on your door, they have been taught to look out for signs of vulnerability, such as a recent loss of a loved one. And this is essentially what they are saying to you when they are using such an event as an opportunity for evangelism. It's sickening. But there's also the problem that I mentioned earlier, moral relativism and utilitarian ethics. The same people who say that the Canaanite genocide was good because it stopped the Canaanites from sacrificing their children to Molech can also be found arguing that God exists because otherwise morality would be a matter of opinion rather than being absolute or objective. These people will claim that atheism and its moral relativism will inevitably lead to genocides, as was seen with Hitler, Stalin, and Mao, and they will say that as though genocide is definitely a bad thing, which, again, let's be clear, it is a bad thing, so we can all agree that genocides are bad. But then they excuse the genocides of the Bible by appealing to the same moral relativism that they reject because they think it leads to genocide. And of course, the real kicker here is that this excuse takes away God's omnipotence. God is all-powerful, but somehow the only way he can bring about great good is by first allowing great evil. He is powerless to bring about the same amount of good, but without doing evil stuff first. And, of course, let's not forget that what could be considered a greater good is not consistent from everyone's perspectives. In the Christian worldview, my wife is done. She's lost her chance. She is being tortured in hell right now. That is the greatest of evils. So from her perspective, there is no greater good that could be brought about that would mitigate the evil being done to her. Being done by God, I should add. Because God is the one that set up the rules that have the same punishment for Stalin as for my wife. Even if he's not actively doing the torturing himself, he is the one who decided that torturing would be the punishment for not believing that he exists. And if that's the kind of God that you worship, then I really don't want any part of it. And then, to top it all off, we have the fact that God's mysterious ways don't actually solve the problem at all. Plenty of things work in ways that are mysterious to most people, but just because we don't have a detailed knowledge of all the inner workings doesn't mean we can't tell when it's not working. I have no idea how my hybrid electric van works. None. Not even the slightest twinkling of an idea. But somehow, despite the ways of this van being completely mysterious to me, I was still able to figure out when it wasn't working as it should, and so took it in for service and found that some module or other that I also don't understand was faulty. You don't need to know how something works in order to notice when it's not working as intended, and God's mysterious plan is supposed to bring about a greater good. And quite frankly, as long as part of God's plan involves torturing people for all of eternity for finite crimes, most of which amount to literally nothing, then there's no way the good brought about from this perfect plan is sufficient to make up for all of that. And it gets even worse when we read in the Bible, in God's own words supposedly, that more people go to hell than to heaven. So, by God's own admission here, the math doesn't work out even for these dirty utilitarian ethics. His great plan involves more people being tortured for all of eternity than being rewarded for all of eternity. You don't need a degree in theology to see that God's plan, as he describes it himself in the Bible, sucks. So, yeah, the only real solution to the problem of evil is to give up one or more of God's omni-properties, at which point he ceases to be God as the Christians understand him. Ergo, the Christian God does not exist. And that's it for this one. Thanks for watching. Thank you to everyone who reached out to offer condolences. They were all appreciated. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you to everyone who donated to the fundraiser in honor of her memory. We've still got a few days left on the fundraiser, so keep it up. And the PayPal heroes this week is a long list, because even though I asked not to get direct donations, a bunch of you decided that you wanted to help out anyway, and as much as I will be okay financially, it really did help. But the same thing still applies. If you are considering donating, give to the charity before you give to me. But anyway, I set a precedent of reading out the PayPal donors' first names, so here we go. Thank you to Erica, Colleen, Chandra, Teresa, Thomas, Alex, Jan or Yan, depending on what language that's in, David, Michael, Eric, David, Oscar, Paul, Jarrett, Cody, Scott, Joseph, Gary, Sheila, Perry, Greg, Daryl, Thomas, Jeffrey, David, Adam, Ian, Thomas, Raymond, Risto, Scott, Marley, Curtis, Jeremy, Walter, Liam, Kimberly, David, Daniel, Rob, Elliot, Christian, Carlos, Rutger, Charles, Purr, Kalen, Randall, Nathaniel, Stacy, Samuel, Karen, Russell, Braincash, and David. Apparently, David's really like me or something. Special thanks as always to my patrons, iOS Tiltbill Gamer, Brian Pound, Clench Eastwood, Lynn Dobbs, Mark McManus, Mark Hetchum, and all the rest, who are the food delivery service to the hot mess of a single father that I am now. Y'all are making sure my kids get fed regularly, so thanks for that. Go to vicerhino.com/donate to give to the fundraiser, and go to links.vicerhino.com for all of my shit. Friday is going to be another guest video in order to give me time to figure out how to fold fitted sheets and whatnot, and when things get back to normal, I am going to stop doing my Wednesday videos, at least until my schedule settles enough for me to get into a routine. I also might miss a video or two around Christmas because I just used all my backup videos at this point. See you next time!